Hi, this is Paul Schmutzler with Piano Onomato. Thanks for listening to the Piano Onomato podcast. This podcast is produced with the goal of bringing an eclectic mix of interviews with contemporary church musicians, composers, and performers. Last Friday evening, August 10th, Greg Howlett performed a concert at the Gwinnett Performing Arts Center in Atlanta. The concert was recorded for a live DVD and CD to be released later this year. I was in the audience that evening, and tonight Greg is my guest on the podcast to talk about what went into producing the concert. So overall, how do you feel things went on Friday night?
Well, I was pleased overall. I thought that, first of all, the team I had was just great. Everybody from the producer and on down through audio and recording. The technical team was incredible. The musicians that we brought in, I thought, did a great job. Piano was great. Venue's great. All I had to do was show up. But it was, for me, it was a highlight of my life, really. It was a big, big night, and wasn't perfect. We had our little issues. Of course, we had to redo a song or two along the way. Overall, I could hardly be happier.
How did you decide on using the Gwinnett Performing Arts Center? How did you come to select that as your venue?
Well, of course, Atlanta has a number of venues. I looked at other venues. The Gwinnett Arena, Gwinnett Performing Arts, I guess, part of a Gwinnett Arena. First of all, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous place for TV because it looks like three levels. It's actually two levels, but it looks like three levels. Has a huge look for TV. But it's just technically a great, great location. You know, great stage. Everybody that I'd bring in there to look at it was just very, very impressed. It certainly wasn't necessarily cheap. I'm not saying it was cheap, but it was a lot cheaper than some of the other options downtown, like the Fox or something like that. So it was just, for me, it was perfect. Plus, it's a little closer to a lot of people. I live on the north side, and I knew that I would draw from the north side of Atlanta. So it was perfect for us. 650 seats, which is pretty much what I thought I could comfortably feel without too much of a sweat. So I just thought, in general, it was an easy decision for us.
Yeah. Now you said you tried to pull your audience from around where you live by choosing that venue. There were a lot of people there that were from out of state. You know, we came from Tennessee. I heard people saying from Maine and Alaska. I mean, really far away. Do you think you knew most of those people personally, or at least had an acquaintance with them, or were these like people that totally surprised you and, you know, just showed up from these long distances?
Well, I didn't know those people for the most part, but they had followed my music. But that being the case, I'm humbled. That's not always true. I had some people come in from the choir from Kansas and Indiana and Pennsylvania that I've known for years, and they just wanted to come down just to reunite a little bit as friends, good music buddies from college and that kind of thing. But I was overwhelmed. I said in the concert, you know, there's a couple, I thought it was Ireland, but somebody from Germany called and ordered tickets. They were moving, I guess it turned out they were moving to the United States, but they drove from a long distance to come. And you're right, we had people that flew in from Maine, Alaska, Wisconsin, West Virginia. I was just tickled by that. That's humbling that people would do that. And then I saw one person posted on Facebook, it was definitely worth the 10-hour drive. And I'm thinking, I can't imagine any concert being worth a 10-hour one-way drive. What can I say? I'm just blown away by people doing that.
Yeah. Well, it's different, you know, a lot of times in Christian music, because there's more to it than just, you know, putting on a good show and just going because you just want to hear somebody. You know, there's more to it than that. So that's part of the reason. So the people you mentioned that were moving from Europe, you said they were actually from Germany. Did they actually end up coming?
Yeah, they did. I tried to introduce them before the show started, but I said Ireland, and they were actually Germany. They came up to me afterwards and said, they mentioned that I guess they were from Germany. Those were the only people from out of the country that I knew that came. Yeah. The one woman from the Philippines was trying to come. I think she didn't get a visa or something, but she was trying to come from the Philippines.
Wow, that's awesome. So did you run into any big hurdles or snafus like, you know, the leading up to the last couple of days before the concert that, you know, really were making you or some of the people that were helping you really start sweating?
Well, trust me, this was not an easy process, and there was huge hurdles all along the way. But they all occurred before the last week, believe it or not. I had enormous trouble getting this together, finding a good producer. And I went through a couple producers before I got Kim on board. But I'll tell you what, once Kim got on board, her mind is like it's just like a trap. Once that something goes into her mind, it don't leave. She's so detail-oriented, she just catches everything. And it's just, you mention something to her once, you don't have to remind her, it's taken care of. And so, believe it or not, we go into the last week, and last week I was basically sitting at home watching the Olympics during the day, playing the piano for an hour or two a day. That's really all I had to do there into the last week. And all the way through the show, I mean, the worst thing that happened was the choir came in without music, and we had to make copies for them, and we had to go out and buy them folders to hold music in. That was pretty much the one thing where the ball was dropped during that whole process.
Yeah. Well, that, and they left and went to IHOP before the concert was over, right?
I'll take blame for that. They shouldn't have had to sing the same song three times. That was my fault.
Yeah. So it sounded like a lot of the musicians, the orchestra in particular, and I guess your band as well, a lot of them had a close relationship with Kennesaw State, either students or alumni or faculty. How did you end up finding all those people from that particular school?
Well, I knew I needed to fill. I wanted 24 people in a choir. And so I just started looking around. Of course, I looked at the professional route, the union side, and then I started thinking, you know what, it might just be better for a lot of reasons to go young, and not too young, because they need to be able to play, so college is a good place to do it. So I just put out feelers at the college and at the different universities around town, and Kennesaw State, which is, I didn't realize, it's a very big university, and they have a great music program, and I hooked up with the music guy over there. And I probably had 18 positions filled from Kennesaw State within a day. He put out the feelers, and they just did a great job with it.
Mm-hmm. And they were all volunteers.
No, they weren't volunteers.
Oh, okay.
I paid them well to do it. Well by college standards, probably not.
Oh, yeah.
Wage.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't. I wouldn't ask them to come. They spent a lot of time over there. They were there on Friday for at least 8 or 9 hours, and then 4 or 5 hours on Thursday.
Mm. Well, that's a great opportunity for somebody like that that's young and in school. I mean, that's going to look great on a resume for sure.
They seem to enjoy it.
Yeah. So about your piano, you had a Schimmel piano, which actually was a new brand to me. I'd never heard of that. And it definitely seemed to have the darker jazz feel that you have told me in the past that you enjoy. How did you settle on that?
Well, it's the best. I know that piano. It's at Cooper down here, one of the main music stores, and I've known that about that piano for a while. It's just, at the moment, it's my favorite piano in Atlanta, mostly because it's just so consistent. It's and I know there's you can be consistently bad, but it's just a consistently great piano. Schimmel is a German brand. And German pianos are known for consistency, just like Germans are known for engineering. I have a German piano myself, a Zeiler, which is a similar piano. And so it was an easy decision for me to go there. Not that I'm going to get on here and start slamming all the other brands, but, you know, Steinway has a great dark sound, but there aren't any good rental Steinways in town. There's a Steinway at the venue, but it wasn't consistent. It's always like Steinway has 87 great notes on it, but there's always just a little problem somewhere. You know what? Boy, I'm going to get in trouble with Steinway dealers. But that's sort of how I feel about it. While Schimmel, you can pretty much, that Schimmel is great top to bottom.
So the music that you did with the three-piece band, you had a violinist / fiddler, more fiddler than violin, it seemed. You had a drummer, and you had a guy who played electric bass and upright bass. So that was a pretty different from music that you've done, at least in recordings in the past. So is this kind of a new direction you're thinking of heading, or is this more of a just kind of try it out for this and see how it goes?
There's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, is it a new direction for me? In some ways, yes. Though you're not going to see me leave my bread and butter, which is, I'm more known for more of a laid back style, and then I have those big orchestra ballads that I like to do, like No More Night and God of Heaven that we did the other night. But and I know there's a big demand for that, but when you're shooting a TV show, there's new, you have to introduce a lot more diversity in it. And so we did probably half upbeat songs in this show. And I think that somebody very wise, I heard a musician that's wiser than me, he said something, I'm in the Christian genre, a musician in the Christian world that said, let your music do your talking about where you are, what you believe about music. And I guess I could say that. The music does reflect where I am currently. I believe that there are diverse ways to worship. And so I certainly am not playing anything that would be ashamed to play. I like it. I like the stuff that I did. It's not everybody's cup of tea. Like I said, it's very diverse. And that, of course, the big problem with that in a concert like we did Friday is it pretty much guarantees that everybody in there is going to hate at least a song or two. they're going to hate wherever you are in the whatever music you like. We were so all over the map in terms of styles. Some people are, wherever you are, you're going to probably like some songs and not like some songs. But that's pretty much sort of where we had to be for this show.
So it was all told, it was almost 3 hours. I think you guys were performing, or close to it. Obviously that wasn't wall-to-wall music, but we were in there for about 3 hours, and the program edited time. Do you have an approximate length of time you expected to be?
Believe it or not, that's going to have to be cut down to 58 minutes and 30 seconds.
There were, like you said, and I mentioned before, we had to do a couple songs over again. I didn't have anything to do with it. All I had to do was clap, but you had to do a few songs over. And God of Heaven was three times. There was, I think the rest of them wasn't more than twice, but were there any songs that you just enjoyed so much that you would have liked to have done more times, even just because they were so fun to play?
Oh, I love that song, Come Thou Fount, that second tune we do, which is the, not bluegrass, we call it newgrass. It's a upbeat version of bluegrass. I love that. I love that tune from the Sacred Harp. But I honestly, the music in this show is by far the favorite stuff I've ever done. I tried to go way out on a limb artistically on this stuff. Hopefully no throwaway songs among the 11. We did 11 songs that'll end up on the project. We did a couple extra songs that'll get scrapped. But I hope there's no throwaways in there. I love them all.
So are you ready to do it again?
I would do it again. I'm sure that I will. I don't want my wife to hear that at the moment. this is absolutely something that I think made to do. In other words, it's part of my makeup to want to do this kind of stuff. And I live for those kind of projects, big projects. And so, a couple of years from now, I'm sure I'll do it again.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to it. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me, and look forward to seeing the recording coming out sometime around Thanksgiving. Is that correct?
Around Thanksgiving, we should have it out.
Great. And it'll be DVD available and a CD as well, two separate
DVD,
recordings.
Yeah, DVD and CDs. And then, of course, where the big deal with it is for TV. That's the bigger scheme, bigger
Great.
Plan.
All right. Well, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for talking.
And thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. For more information on Greg's project entitled Looking Up, check his blog at greghowlett.com. You can follow Piano Onomato's Twitter account at Piano Onomato. You can also subscribe to the blog at pianoonomato.com. Thanks for listening.